Tell them now. Share with you some thoughts from the scripture this morning about Satan and the devil, and then also about Christ and his purpose here on earth, and then how we can join in with Christ. And what the Bible says, and what we just read, our good brother, little brother just read, he says that little children, I'll add a little, I'm going to read a little bit more in there. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Jesus, is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appears. That's kind of important to talk about why Jesus appeared. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. I mean, the purpose for Jesus can be stated like this. To destroy the works of the devil. I thought that to be pretty powerful. To think about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ come? Well, in this scripture, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And so let's consider for a moment this morning about the devil. Who he is, and what he's done, or what his works are. And then, in light of that, we might can understand a little bit more about the purposes of Jesus here on earth. And then, if we're going to follow Jesus, maybe then how to join with him, partner with him, to do the same thing, to purpose to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? So it's kind of church militant this morning. Church out on mission. Church to destroy the works of the devil, to go out into the world and to destroy the works of this. Who is this guy? Who is the devil? What are his works? How did Jesus defeat him? And then how can we join with Jesus to defeat the works of the devil? So we'll talk about some of those things as we go through the scriptures this morning. So, who is the devil and what does he do? So we're going to read just passages of scripture about Satan, about who he is and what he did. That's where we get our information about who he is and what he did, what he does. And then think about, as you're going through, as we're going through these scriptures and we're considering Satan and what he does, think also then about the opposite, Christ destroying his work. You know, if Satan is this and he does this, then Christ is this and he does this to destroy that work. Alright? So, considering who Satan is, right from the beginning we read passages in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28, 11 through 18, and I'll just read some of this stuff. There's a lot of scripture here, so you don't have to try and flip to every one if you don't want. But Ezekiel 28, 11 through 18, it says in verse 13, he's talking about Satan, this passage. You were in Eden. Satan was in the Garden of Eden, right? Yeah. The snake. You were in Eden, in the Garden of God. It says, every precious stone was your covering. He was beautiful. Satan was beautiful. Lucifer. Satan, Lucifer, the devil. Lots of different names we have for him. But originally, where does Satan come from? He was created by God. God doesn't create evil or bad things. So originally, Lucifer was created good. But a good creation, in order to be good, in order to have morality, you can't have morality if you don't have choice. In order to be good, you have to have choice. So Satan, Lucifer, and all the angels that were created with choice. Free choice, just like you have free choice. Right? This is who he was, Lucifer. And it says he was covered, every precious stone was his covering, saying he was beautiful. And as a matter of fact, the Bible talks about Lucifer was the most beautiful of all beings. He was second only to God in beauty. Still a creation, but in power and beauty. Lucifer, second only to God. It says, you were blameless. See, he's talking about Satan. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. It says, by the abundance of your trade or your skill set, like a carpenter has a trade, he builds houses. Well, Satan has a skill. He has a trade. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. Satan's trade is violence. And you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane. I have cast you as something unholy and unrighteous down from the holy mountain of God. Satan cast down from the holy mountain of God as someone unrighteous, profane. And I have destroyed you. Your heart was lifted up. Listen to this. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. And I cast you to the ground. So the idea is Lucifer, Satan, was created. He was beautiful. And because of his beauty, his heart was corrupted because of his pride. And so you have, we could think of maybe girls in a pageant. You ever think of girls in a pageant? Anybody ever do pageants? Any girls in here ever do a pageant? Come on, you would admit it if you did, huh? Well, pageant girls are a particularly special breed. They do pageants, and their moms put them in pageants, their little girls in pageants and stuff. Well, you know, one girl, the second place girl, might be jealous of the first place girl. Because maybe the first place girl is getting a little more attention. She gets to wear the crown, right? She gets to wear the crown, she gets the flowers, she gets all that good stuff. And Satan, but the second place girl is angry because she thinks she's prettier than the first place girl. That's why she's angry. You see, so she's bitter and thinks, I should be in first place. I should have the crown. I should have the flowers. Because she wouldn't be upset if she didn't think she was as pretty as the first place girl. She'd be like, yeah, she's prettier than I am. That's okay. She deserves it. Well, that's not Satan, and that's not the second place girl here in the pageant. She's bitter because he thinks he's beautiful. He thinks he deserves some of the power. I deserve to wear the crown. I deserve to be worshipped. I deserve to be followed. And so you have him with violence, anger, bitterness. You have this welling up in Satan, and he's cast down as unholy because he does not want to submit to the beauty of God. He does not want to submit to the glory of God, to who God is. He wants to create for himself some glory, some beauty. He wants his splendor to be known. So you have this being, this angel, this angelic being, who is moral and free. In order to be moral, you must be free. Who makes this decision about himself and who he is. Alright. So, moving on. In Matthew 4, verses 8 through 9, he says this. Again, the devil took him. The devil takes Jesus. Remember the temptations of Jesus. The devil is tempting Jesus. He says, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain. And he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. So Jesus came to earth to live a sinless life, to die in our place. Well, Satan could defeat Jesus' purpose if Satan could get Jesus to sin. And so he takes him out in the desert. He's going to tempt him to sin. So he takes him up on a high mountain. He shows him the whole world. And he says, Satan says to Jesus, all these things I will give you. And Satan's powerful. You know, the Bible calls Satan the ruler of this world. Meaning this earthly realm, this fleshly realm, this world. So Satan's actually very powerful being, not more powerful than God. But he says, I will give you all this if you fall down and worship me. That's what Satan says to Jesus. So we see in that passage that Satan desires to be worshipped. He desires to be worshipped by you. So, remember, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the idea that you would worship Satan, or that you would bow down before Satan. Now Satan is beautiful in splendor and deserves some of God's glory. Deserves some of God's crown. That he deserves first place in the pageant. Jesus has come to destroy that whole attitude in his trade, his work, his skill, his violence. So, in Mark chapter 4, it says, listen to this. Jesus tells a parable. He says, a sower went out to sow seed, and he was sowing, and some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. So he's telling a story about a farmer who threw seed down, and birds came and ate the seeds up, so that the seeds didn't produce any plants. And then Jesus says, the sower is sowing the word of God. The seeds are the word of God. And the ones who are beside the road, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which is sown into their heart. So we have here in another place, Satan is the one that comes and steals away the word of God out of your heart. So, for example, this morning, we're going to talk about the word of God. I'm going to preach to you the word of God. We're going to talk about the word. It's going to sow something into your heart this morning. For example, you may feel a conviction that you ought to do something, you know, that you ought to live a certain way, that you ought to think a certain way or not do something, right? Maybe you ought to, you feel like, man, I really need to do this. I need to read my Bible more. You feel that before 12 o'clock today, before noon. By the time 3 o'clock rolls around, Satan has stolen that out of your heart. And you no longer are thinking about that, whatever you were thinking about. I need to read the Bible. I really need to, you know, witness, or I need to stop doing something. You need to stop that stealing. You need to stop. Satan is looking to snatch the Word of God from your heart. You know, that place that moves you. Where the Word of God gets inside and wants to move you. And Satan's looking to snatch that away. And he uses any number of ways. Right? Any number of things. Anything Satan will use to snatch the Word of God out of your heart. And Christ wants to defeat that work. Christ wants the Word of God to dwell in you richly, the Bible says. To dwell in our hearts and for us to move. So Christ wants to defeat Satan's goal to snatch the Word of God when it moves your heart. And snatch. He wants to defeat that. In Luke 13, it said there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, it says. And she was bent double and she couldn't even straighten up. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed. You are freed from your sickness." So it's freed, bondage, and you're in cuffs, handcuffs, bondage, and you're freed from your sickness, he says. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made to stand again and be well. And she began glorifying God. She began glorifying God. You see how Satan has a work. A bondage, a sickness. Here, in this example, it's a sickness. So a physical sickness. So Satan's interested in making you physically sick too. And to put you in bondage to a physical sickness. And Jesus, and that's what happens. A lot of people all over the world get sick. Now here's the deal. Don't be mistaken in this. Not every sickness is a work of Satan. And I don't want to talk to you about health and wealth kind of deal. I'm not telling you that, you know, Jesus wants to make you better and you need to will yourself up here and lay hands on you and you'll get better. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? But sicknesses in our life can be the work of the devil and it can be bondage. And Christ may want to free you from that. He may want to free people from that. That may not have to do. Here's something. I'll just show you the idea. Church militants. Over in New Orleans, I may start working with a team of guys, and they want to start medical clinics in underserved or financially poor areas of New Orleans. You see? That's joining with Christ to help free people from bondages of sickness and things. To help minister in Christ's name to defeat Satan, to defeat bondage in people's lives. See what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be the lay hands on you miracles kind of style. It can be something practical for the church to be a part of defeating the works of Satan to help people who are sick. Right? Because sickness can be a bondage in people's life. Sickness can be a bondage in people's life. And it says this, just go back, he says, she was made to stand and she began glorifying God. So you see how Jesus defeats the work of Satan to not glorify God. She's glorifying God now. Jesus is defeating the work of Satan. And he says, this woman, the daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, she should be released from this bond on this Sabbath day. So Satan binds people even in sickness, and he binds people in sin. We see also Jesus setting people free from bondage, right? For example, Zacchaeus was a man who was a tax collector. He was a tax man. We don't like the tax man very much. But he was a tax man. He collected money from people in the community. And he was a bit of a thief. He would steal money as he was collecting taxes, so they didn't like it. Jesus went to his house, and Jesus' interaction with him set him free from the bondage of being a thief. He said, because of my new relationship with Jesus, I'm not only going to stop stealing, but I'm going to start giving to people. I'm going to, all the money that I stole, I'm going to give it back. That's what he said. So he healed him, and he set him free. And so the bondages that we have in life, through Satan, Christ wants to set us free from these bondages. In a story about Ananias and Sapphira, it says that Ananias lied. It says that, I'll read the story. It says, Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of land, and they kept back the money for themselves, and he brought a portion of it to the disciples to donate to the church, but he lied about it. He was lying. He said, this is all the money that I got for the land, but he actually kept some of it. Right? And Peter says this, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie? And to keep some of the money. It was yours to begin with. After it was sold, it was in your control. Why do you lie? Why do you deceive in your heart? Why do you do this? So here we have Satan. He can fill your heart with a lie. This is a very powerful being. He can put it in your heart to lie. Now, whether we submit to that is a free choice of ours. Whether we submit to the inclination that Satan sows into our heart to lie to our parents, to our friends, to whoever. Whether we choose to submit to that and lie, that's our choice. But Satan has the ability to sow in your heart lie. Remember, you've seen the scenes, right, with the two? The angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other? Right? In a way, Satan can sow into your heart a desire, a lie. If you lie right now, you can get out of this. You can sow it into your heart. If you lie right now, Ananias, if you lie right now, you can look good. Right? If you just tell him that this is all the money, you can look like you gave everything. And you really didn't. You know? You know, I did. I find myself, this is one I caught myself doing. I would call, like somebody, I call somebody, I'm late, running somewhere. I'm always late. I'm late going somewhere, so I call and I say, yeah, I'm on my way, you know? And they say, where are you? I say, well, I'm turning on Franklin Avenue. I'm really not. I'm about to turn on Franklin Avenue. But I want to give them the impression that I'm close. Or my wife calls me, I'm at work, I'm still working, she calls me, you know? And I'm like, yeah, oh, I'm on my way. I'm walking out the door. I'm not. I'm not going anywhere. But I don't want her to yell at me. So I lie. I don't want her to yell at me, so I lie. It's sown in my heart, and I lie. And I catch myself doing that. I'm trying not to do that now, because I'm like, man, put the phone on my hand. That's a lie, dude. That's not. I mean, it's small, but it's sown in my heart to lie so that I don't get in trouble. Right? And Satan sows that in our heart. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. We're going to read that in a second. In 2 Corinthians, it says, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He comes around pretending to be a good guy. We've seen that a lot, right? Somebody comes around in TV shows. Somebody comes around and acts like I'm act like I'm your friend. I'm on your side. But really, it turns out he's the bad guy, right? You always know the bad guy in the show. You can pick him out away at the beginning of the movie. You're like, he's the bad guy. Because he's acting nice. I can tell he's the bad guy. Yeah? So Satan does that. Satan comes around and masquerades as an angel of light. So that you'll follow. And then sets the trap. He says, this about Satan. Jesus says some harsh words for these folks, but he says this. You are of your father, the devil. That's what he says to these people. That's kind of harsh. You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of the devil. He was a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's talking about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. That's what Satan said to this group of guys. Pretty harsh words. You are of your father the devil, and he describes the devil as a murderer from the beginning. Remember, his trade is violence. His trade is violence. Isn't there a lot of violence in the city? I mean, in New Orleans, a lot of violence. A lot of murder. A lot of violence. How about at your school? How about just bitter, just angry, just people bickering? I played flag football at the seminary. This is where theology students and pastors. And the guys got in a fight. This is like last week. A fight on the flag football field at the seminary. Two pastors in a fight. You know, violence sown into our heart, sown into our life. You know, what was the first sin committed? Well, the first recorded sin in the Bible committed after the Garden of Eden. Cain killed Abel. He murdered. That's the first thing that happened. Somebody murdered somebody. It's because that's what Satan's about. He's about hatred, bitterness, lying, violence. Jesus came to destroy those words. You know that? And murder is intense. I mean, Cain killed Abel. But what about just the bitterness and anger in your heart? You know, that whole idea, if nobody was around and there were no consequences, I would do something bad to that person right now. That's in your heart. That comes in our hearts, right? Somebody makes us upset. Somebody does something wrong to us. And we say, if there were no consequences, I'd do something real bad to you. There's a bitterness and an anger. That seed is sown in our heart from Satan. Christ wants to defeat that work. He doesn't want us to walk in bitterness and anger. He wants to defeat those works in our life. Every day, He wants to defeat that. He's the father of lies, it says. This is the biggest one, I think. Satan is just a liar. He's flat out a liar. He's going to come, he's going to tempt you, he's going to lie, he's going to tell you God's not worthy, God's not glorious, he's not as beautiful. He's going to tell you God made up the rules and that the rules are unfair and that actually you don't have to follow the rules, you don't have to listen to God. And if you don't listen to God, it's actually going to be better off for you. That's what he said to Adam and Eve in the garden. If you don't listen to God about this apple thing, it's going to be a whole lot better for you. You're going to be wise, you're going to be good, you're going to get a lot. It's going to be better for you. If you don't listen to God, he's a liar. He's the father of lies, he says. And Jesus came to defeat the lies with the truth. So this is about who the devil is. He oppresses people. He has these evil desires. He wants us to follow him in. He wants to sow lies and bitterness and hatred in your hearts. He holds people captive. He can make people sick. But his greatest deal is bondage. You know, bondage. He wants to lie to you. He wants to keep you in bondage. Bondage comes in many forms. He loves... And Satan is a big picture guy as well as just focusing on you. And not only is it Satan. When I say Satan, do you know that there were many angels that fell with him, the Bible says. So God created all these angels. There was a whole group of them that followed with Satan and said, I don't want to be second place. I don't want to be the creation. I want to be the creator. I want to be God. You know? And there was a whole group of them that fell. And they have a whole plan. A whole plan. And they're big picture folks. They don't want to just attack you, but they love a society. He loves a society of inequality. A society of injustice. He loves a society where we kill babies. He loves a society where we murder infants, even in the womb before they're born. He loves a society where people are poor. Do you know, I just finished building a house for a couple. I'm going to give you a big picture, but I finished building a house for this couple. They're not married. We built a house for them, Samaritan's First, but they're not married. And you ask them, you're ministering to these folks, you know, and you say, so, you know, what's the deal? You guys have been together for years. you live in the same house, you've been together for years, I mean, you're basically act like a married couple. Why not, you know, make a covenant before God and get married? And their answer is, if we get married, we will we won't be able to get the same assistance, government assistance, than if we're two individual people. So we have an economic system, and some would say we have an economic system that helps at some level foster a lifestyle that would be sinful, maybe, right? So we have a lot of things that we can look at. We can say, well, Satan would help to develop oppressive systems, right? Oppressive things. I'm not saying we're oppressing anybody in America necessarily, but there are aspects, right, where it encourages people. Now, that's their choice still. That's still their choice, right? But an oppressive society, I mean, I'm sure Satan probably was a big fan of Nazi Germany. He's a big picture kind of guy. As well as focusing on you individually, he's a big picture kind of guy. I'm sure Satan was a big fan of Nazi Germany. Yeah, let's murder a whole bunch of people. That's my style. That's what I like. You know? And Satan, Jesus came to destroy those works. You know, one of the favorite things, I think Satan's favorite things, is addiction. I think Satan loves addiction. Drug addiction, man. Me and my wife were sitting the other day and we were talking about the things that ruin young people's life. And sex and drugs. Not rock and roll. We like rock and roll. But sex and drugs. When you grow up and you know people, like people that are now 30 or whatever, and we're 30, you know, mid-30s, 35, 36 here. And you look at the people around you, 35, 36, so many people, their mistakes and their regrets and their problems, and their hang-ups, sex and drugs. Sex and drugs. Satan loves addiction. He loves sexual addiction. He loves pornography. He loves bondage. See, that's bondage. Addiction is bondage. You gotta have something to function. You gotta have a drug. You gotta have pornography. You gotta have something. He loves bondage. You know, people who do drugs, they hate drugs. There are people out there that do drugs and they hate them. They're ruining my life and you can't stop doing it. That's got to be one of Satan's favorite things, is to look at you taking drugs and hating it. But I got to have it. This is ruining my life. I know it. I got to have it. Anyway. I mean, that's the definition of hell, if you ask me. I don't want to be here, but I got to have it. I don't want to do this, but my body craves it, and I got to stick it in my veins. I got to smoke it. I got to do whatever. You know? I bet Satan loves drugs. He's a big fan. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. He came to destroy bondage from pornography, bondage from sexual addiction. He came to destroy bondage from drugs, drug addiction. He came to destroy the love of money that would hold you in bondage. People are slaves to money. This is about, as Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. You're either a slave to God or you're a slave to money. People are a slave to money. Everything they do is to get money. Money makes the world go around. God really makes the world go around. But people are a slave. I got to get money. So they, everything they do, position themselves to get a better paycheck or whatever. Jesus came to set us free from that. Love of money, like Zacchaeus, he set him free from the love of money, from stealing, from the evil in his heart, to be a giver. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. And those are some big things for us, big things for your future. I mean, you may not feel it now. You may be like, I'm just relaxing. I'm just relaxing, man. I don't worry about all that. But you will. You will, and it will be important to you. And Satan is out there, and he's real, and he wants to destroy your life. It says he's a roaring lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. Whom he may devour. He's trying to devour, to destroy you, to bind you up, to put you in servitude to Him, to worship Him, to follow Him. And Jesus wants to set you free from all that bondage. Christ came that we would be free indeed, free with the truth about the glory of God, the provision of God, the benefits of God. Jesus came to set you free from the bondage that Satan wants to put you in. So, I just want to encourage you to submit yourself. The Bible says, very simply, submit yourself to God. resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when he sows that inclination in your heart to lie, you need to do something that's going to submit yourself to God and resist the devil in your life. It is a prayer. It is a prayer. God, I'm angry right now. I'm bitter. I need to submit to you. I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to resist being angry, the work of the devil. I'm going to submit to you. And the devil must flee from me. That's what the Bible says. Plain as day. You can, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can defeat the works of the devil in your life. Not only that, but you can also help defeat the works of the devil in the world as the church on mission. And that's going out there and anything from going out there and sharing the gospel with people to going out there and helping build houses for people and going out there and doing medical clinics. I mean, we do all sorts of stuff as a church. And the point of all these things that we're doing is we're going out there is we're trying to defeat the works of the devil in the world so that people can stand upright like that lady. She was bent over and sick. Jesus touched her and healed her. She stood up and she was free from the bondage and she glorified God. And that's what we're out, church militant. We want to go out into the world. We want to see people free from bondage. You want to see your friends free from bondage. You don't want to see your friends end up drug addicts and dropouts. You don't want to see that sort of stuff. You want to see them free from bondage, standing upright and praising the Lord and glorifying God. We have to follow Jesus. We have to walk in the power of the Spirit. We have to be people of prayer to resist the devil. We have to help go. We don't have time to talk about everything that Jesus did to defeat the works of the devil. But he came here and he sacrificed his life. If you're going to go out and defeat the works of the devil, then you need to go out and be willing to lay down your life so that other people can be free from bondage. That's what Jesus did for us. Came and laid down his life so you could be free from the bondage of sin and death. We need to go and be ready to serve and sacrifice so that people can be free from the bondage of sin and death. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Defeat the works of Satan. So I said, encourage you. What's Satan working in your life? Let's bow our heads and pray. What's Satan working in your life? What kind of bondage has he sown in your life, in your heart? What kind of lie has he placed in your heart? Is it the love of money? Are you addicted to some sex or perversion? Are you inclined to drugs? Are you inclined to... what are you bound to? Are you bound to an image? Are you bound to looking a certain way? You've got to look a certain way. You've got to have a certain clothes. You've got to have this or that. What are you bound to? Materialism? Do you love stuff? Are you just bound up? How is Satan trying to bind you, man? He just wants to bind you up. Are you bound in religion? Do you have to follow certain rules? Are you bound in your religion? Not a relationship with Jesus. Satan's looking to bind you, man. He's been doing it for thousands of years and he is good at it. Jesus Christ wants to defeat the works of Satan in your life. Just give you a moment to pray. To submit to God. To say, God, I want to submit to you. I want to submit to you, Christ. And I want you to free me. What do you want him to free you of? Love of money? What do you want him to free you of? Something. You need help from Christ. You call out to him. He will help you. And in turn, go out and be a bondage breaker in the world. Father, whatever it is that's binding us, please reveal it to us. Please give us the faith and the strength to overcome. In this time, just work in our hearts, Father, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.